Welcome to our discussion of understanding the benching, understanding the Birkat HaMazon, the grace after meals, the Jewish way of praying and thanking God after our meals. So the Jewish benching is a very lengthy kind of a thing. No question at the end of the benching or just various other prayers that we make once we were benching, we ask God to rebuild Jerusalem and some other things. So we throw in some other phrases and also prayers for all kinds of things that we're looking forward to. But we're not really going to analyze that part of the benching. But even the first part of the benching, the first four blessings, they're also very serious and very complex and very interesting. I'd like to share it with you today. This talk dovetails a little bit on our 10 minutes for Torah we had the other day as well. So you can watch that as well. Now, it was last week. So let's take a look at our special presentation and we'll get started. So we want to have a discussion about understanding the benching. If you look in the Torah, we see that it says as follows, that this week's Parshat Ekev, "Ve'achalta v'savata," you should eat and you should be satiated. Now, obviously that's not a mitzvah. You don't have to be full all the time. You don't have to eat, but of course everybody eats anyway. So that's not a mitzvah because you don't need the Torah to tell you that. Third word is the mitzvah, uvirachta, and you should bless Hashem Elokecha, Lord your God, Hashem your God, al ha'aretz hatova, on the good land that he gave you. So, seems pretty straightforward. You have to thank God for the good land. But we'll see, it's much more complex than that. So, from this verse, it seems like you should thank God for giving us such a great land. So, how do the rabbis understand that verse? What does the verse mean? So we look in the Gemara in Brachos, Mem Chesam Beis 48b, and the Gemara there says as follows. Tana Rabbanan, a rabbi's taught in a bright an outside source, probably concurrent or post-Mishnaic times. How do we know that we have benching altogether? It says in our parasha, you should eat, you should be satiated. All right, that's obvious. And you should bless. So just the concept of blessing, we're going to look at that by itself. We're not going to say, bless God for the good land. There's only one thing we have to do, bless God for the land. No, we're going to look at each word by itself. And you should bless. Stop there. First mitzvah. We're going to thank God for what? Birkat HaMazon, that he gives food. Et Hashem Elokecha zirkat zimun. Very interesting. There's something called zimun. You know that before we start benching, what do? We say, Rabotayin V'rayach, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, let's bless. So they say, may God's name be blessed. And we say, let us bless the one whose food we ate. And everyone says, blessed is the one whose food we ate. And he says, blessed is the one whose food we ate. So it's a responsive kind of thing, blessing God. So comes the Gemara and says, you know what? That is, that's what it means to bless God's name. What do you mean? That the essence of the beginning is just to bless God's name. Let's bless the one whose food we ate. Perhaps one could suggest that that means to simply say a blessing to God. That's the important thing about Zimun, the introduction. Interesting. Al ha'aretz, as we mentioned, the land, that's the blessing over the land. The tova, the good land, we're looking at good as a separate concept we have to bless God for. Zo bonei Yerushalayim, we want to thank God for building Jerusalem. Israel is known in last week's parsha of Vayetchanan by Moshe Rabbeinu. He calls it the good mountain. And the rabbis say it's not the whole Israel, which there is a spinal cord that goes down the center of Israel from Beersheba all the way up to the valley up north, the Jezreel Valley, and then continues up in the Hermon Mountains. Israel is kind of a mountain range in the middle, but that's not the good mountain. The good mountain is Jerusalem. The good mountain is Jerusalem, and it whitens our sins. That's why it's called Lebanon, from the word Lavan, or white. So we want to thank God for the good land, that's Jerusalem. So we have to mention food, land, and Jerusalem. Asher Natan Lot, that he gave you, that's the blessing of Hatov HaMitiv, that God is good to us. Now the rabbis say, in another passage in this connection, that really the fourth bracha is a separate kind of a thing. You know, it starts its own Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. That's the only bracha that begins, other than the first one, it begins with its own beginning. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. So that bracha, the rabbis say, was really instituted because when we had the terrible devastation of the destruction of the temple, then we tried to rebel with the rebellion of Korach, and then it was put down by the Romans, the Bar Kokhba rebellion in Beitar. The bodies that were destroyed, they didn't putrefy. We were able to bury them. And we thank God that he's good in those two ways, that we were able to bury them. It didn't smell. We're happy. So we have to understand, what does that mean? And how is that derived from Asher Natalach that he gave you? So the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara is saying that there are three or four, or maybe even five different things. To bless God for his name, for the food, for the land, for Jerusalem, and for something else about being good in strange times, the times of Bar Kokhba, the rebellion. So just to review, what is Zimun? What is that first blessing to introduce the benching? It's responsive. Right, so Leshik points out that many things that are holy are responsive, like Kaddish. What's Kaddish? I say some stuff, the congregation responds. I say some more stuff, the congregation responds. And that's why I get credit for my loved one when I say Kaddish, because I'm causing other people to say things, to thank God. Or the Jerusalem Talmud says, well, can you have two people for a Zimun? So our Talmud waffles on that question. Jerusalem Talmud says, maybe, because some people say you could have two judges instead of three. What does judgment have to do with Zimun? The question is, we decide to bench. Should we bench? Someone says, no, I want to have a piece of cake. Don't bench yet. Or people might say, theoretically, they could say, bench? Did you ever have such terrible spaghetti? It had no taste at all. It's terrible. This fish is terrible. Worse fish. So we have to decide. We want to thank God or not. So it's like a decision, a court. Don't try that with your somebody you know and their food that they made. But in any event, but one might have that attitude. And what do we say? Blessed is the one whose food we ate. It's not so much about the food. It's about God is the one whose food we ate. So it's about blessing God. It's not about the food. That's the introduction. The Rambam, in his introduction to the laws of blessing, says, Mitzvah asel v'rech Hashem ha-gadol v'akadosh achar achila. It's a mitzvah to bless the great and holy name after we eat. The great and holy name? Why doesn't he just say to bless God? What's all this flowery language? This is not the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, the Guides of Perplexed, or some poem or something. This is the laws of blessings. What is he talking about? The great and holy name. I mean, it doesn't say that every time he talks about God. What's going on? So Rabbi Salvechik said that there's great and holy. Great represents what's Jewish greatness? Jewish greatness is being kind. So if we can have kindness, if we have guests at our meal, we share with others that, or in general, we share, we wrote a check before we bought our food, we wrote a check for other people's food. That's being great. And holy, that means to hold back. Some foods we can't eat. They're not kosher. It's not the right time to eat it. The different laws of different things you can eat and can't eat. So that's holy. So he says that's all of Judaism in two words. The Rambam puts those two words. It's the whole Judaism. Kindness and restraint. That's what we thank God, who is the master of kindness and the master of sharing this holiness. And that's restraint. We know that God restrained himself to build the world to make room for us. The Targum Yonatan is it's a tribute to Yonatan, but it's Zeal. It's probably written much later, but in any event, it's an Aramaic translation. It's, for our purposes, it's an old translation, way before Rashi. And he says as follows. But Tevin Zahir, you should be careful. When you eat and you satiate, you have to thank and bless. He doesn't translate bless as bless. He says also thanks. So number one, he says that there's an element here of thanksgiving and also blessing in front of God for all the fruits of the land. So Rabbi Salvechik points out something. I was bothered by this my entire life. It says in the Torah, you should bless God for the good land that he gave you. So it's very clear. It's clear as day. We should thank God for the land. Nothing else. There's no question. Why are there four different themes? The good land. So we say, no, the first blessing is for food. As a matter of fact, some say the essential blessing is for food. There was a certain shepherd named Benjamin, and he's quoted in the Talmud, and he said, bless his God for the food, for the bread. This is bread. And they say, oh, that's good enough. He's a shepherd. He doesn't know Hebrew. That's fine. So we say, what? He didn't mention the land. It said Torah says land. So comes Yonatan ben Zeal and he says, no, Alperiara. It doesn't mean land. You don't thank God for the land. I could care less. There's a piece of dirt on the ground called the land of Israel. What's important is the land that produces a fruit that I eat. That's what I'm interested in. So you thank God for the fruits of the land. Oh, and that means the food. It's true. Ideally, the fruit comes from Israel, but any fruit, you could thank God as well. So that's very interesting in terms of Thanksgiving and in terms of the fruit. The Rav says that the bracha before is different than the bracha after. You see, a lot of faiths, Christian people, a lot of people, they say a blessing before food. He says you can say a blessing before food, but you can't say thanks. You might anticipate, you know, you can have anticipatory Thanksgiving, but he says there's a limit to that. You can't really sing a full song if you haven't had anything yet. When you finished eating a meal, you can really thank the host. You can thank them before you get there. Oh, it's so nice of you to have us for Thanksgiving, for Shabbos. But the real Thanksgiving is when you've already experienced it. So therefore, the after blessing is likely to be like Yonatan ben Uzziel said, is likely to be an element of Thanksgiving. What about Jerusalem? Is Jerusalem a Thanksgiving? So look in the bracha. We'll look in the bracha. We'll look in the bracha in a minute, and we'll think about that. Is the Jerusalem blessing a Thanksgiving, or is it a prayer? So we'll take a look in a moment. Now, the if we look at the blessing of the Jerusalem, we say, "Uvnei Yerushalayim," let us rebuild Jerusalem. Let's take a look for a second. Right? Have mercy upon Jerusalem. That's a Thanksgiving. That's blessing God. Do not make us dependent on your gifts, nor on mortal men. This is not a, we're not thanking God. Blessed is God who rebuilds Jerusalem. It's not really a Thanksgiving, it's a prayer. Maybe once upon a time it was, maybe today it could be considered a Thanksgiving. God already rebuilt it to some degree. But really we're hoping for the complete rebuilding. So if the Torah says you should thank God for the good land, and good means Jerusalem, so you want to thank God for Jerusalem. We don't thank God for Jerusalem. We just say, we hope we build Jerusalem. So what kind of bracha is that? What's going on? So says Rabbi Soloveitchik, we can thank God even for what he has given us. Let's look at that blessing again, at the verse. We thank God for the good land that he gave us. Says the Talmud that he gave us, that's the bracha that we instituted when we were able to bury the dead after the Romans destroyed Beitar. What does that mean? Whatever God gave you, that's what you thank God for. We can thank God even for what he has given us, even for the burying of our dead, even for a broken Jerusalem, even for a bad meal. Because a lot of times Rabbi Soloveitchik says you have a bad meal, right? When they had a piece of bread and some water disguised as soup in the concentration camp, I'm sure many of the people there said the grace after meals. And that's Asher Natan Lach. You thank God for what he gave you, whatever it was, moldy bread or whatever, you thank God for it. And what is a bracha? What does it mean, you thank God? Thanking, we understand. You say, someone gives you something, you thank him. But what is a blessing? You bless God? How do you bless God? So it's interesting, Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes the Sefer HaChinuch. It's an anonymous author from probably around post-Nachmanides, probably 13th century Spain. May it be your will that all people of the world relate to the blessing to you and confess that all emanates from you. May everyone recognize what I recognize, what I'm trying to recognize, that all blessings come from you. Everything comes from you. So a bracha is not giving a blessing to God. It's hoping that all people will recognize God. It's just a recognition. So we have two ideas. One is thanksgiving, and one is blessing. Blessing is just that everyone should recognize God. That we do before we eat and after we eat. The rabbi said you should bless God before we eat as well. The Torah says you bless God after we eat. But is there an element of thanksgiving in the blessing after meals? The Yonatan says yes. Ramban, some people say no. So some say it's just a recognition. That's the Ramban. In that sense, the grace after meals is no different than the grace before meals. Just a recognition that God is blessed, and we hope that God will continue to be blessed, and people will recognize that things come from you. Some people say that no, the benching, the grace after meals, is a thanksgiving as well. Now, when we said in the Talmud there that, you know, we derived that there are these four themes that emerge from the benching, at least three or maybe five, but certainly the theme of food, land, and Jerusalem, that the rabbis derived from that verse, that the land it says right there, the good they interpret to mean Jerusalem, and blessing God they interpret to mean thank God for the food, or maybe the land means the fruit of the land. So these three themes, what if you didn't thank God for all those themes? What if you ate a piece of bread and then you said, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub? What if you said, thank you, God. Oh, what a wonderful meal. Thank God. So is that good enough? So the Talmud seems to say yes, but it's not clear. Does that mean it's good? That's good enough for the first bracha, but then you have to go on to the second bracha. And then you have to say, and yeah, thanks God for the land. Oh, and by the way, Jerusalem is really great. If you didn't say those three themes, do you still get the mitzvah? So, three opinions, of course. This I didn't translate, I'm sorry. The Rashba says, yes, according to Torah law, you have to have three themes, and you have to thank God for all of them. That's the Rashba, Ramban's student in Spain. Ramban Nachmanides says that benching is a Torah law, but the exact language or what you think, that is not a Torah law. You could say whatever you want. Say thanks for the bread. It's good enough. There's a third opinion that every word, that all the words, that if you leave out any theme, the actual language of it is a Torah law. Because Tosfot says, how come when you had workers, the Talmud says as follows. If you have a bunch of workers, and they you have these workers, and the workers are paid by the hour. So they take a lunch break, and they finish lunch. So that's it. They gave you a lunch break. Now they didn't give you a phone break. The lunch break, so lunch is over. That's it. Well, you're Jewish. You have to bench. Okay, fine. You have to bench. But benching is very long. So the rabbi said, you know what? For you, thank God for the land, and just throw in the Jerusalem, and the fourth blessing is only rabbinic. Forget about that. So combine the last two blessings. You got to get back to work. It's an ethical imperative to work as hard as you can during work. So the question is, what do you mean? You're going to combine two blessings? I thought there's a Torah law that you have to say these three themes and have to be separate. How can you combine them? What is the assumption of this question? The assumption of Tosa's question is that unless you had all three themes, you didn't get the mitzvah. The Tosfot has a very extreme view. So we have three views. View number one is there's no particular language. Thank God for the food is fine. The other idea is that all three ideas have to be expressed. The other is they have to be expressed in the particular way in which they're said in the benching, perhaps with these exact words. That's an extreme view. Now let's take a look at the blessing itself, the three, four blessings, and try to understand some important themes that emerge. The first thing is that the first blessing is very universal. It's not about Joel Finkelstein, qua Jewish person who is connected to God in the land of Israel and the Torah. It's not about that. It's just about everybody. It's universal. God provides for everybody. What did I underline? What did I put in bold? All. He provides for all and all. He provides for the whole world. He gives to all flesh. He sustains all. He gives to all his creatures. And we finish off, blessed is God who provides food for all. Hazan et ha kol. So it's very universal. It's not about me as a Jew. Second blessing is very much as a Jew, that he, having given us an inheritance from our ancestors for a precious, good, and spacious land. It's about the land of Israel. And not only that, the rabbis insisted that we have to include, it says in the Talmud here, Brachot 49a, that we have to include, let's see, Nachum HaZaken said, you have to mention covenant, the bris, that I have a bris in my flesh, which raises the question, if that's part of benching, does that mean a woman is somehow less connected to benching? There's such a theory. And although generally we assume women are totally obligated in benching like anybody else. Rabbi Yossi says, you have to mention Torah, that God gave us Torah. Torah, what does Torah got to do with anything? Why are we mentioning Torah? We have here the Torah, the covenant. We're getting so far afield. We had a piece of bread. What does that got to do with the Torah and the covenant? So we've got to think about that as well. And we have to also understand this expression, the good, the precious, good and spacious land. We're going to have to get back to that. What does that mean? These three expressions. And then we say, we thank God for everything. We quote the verse from this week's Parsha that we should eat satiated and thank God for the good land that he's given us. And we thank God, strangely enough, for the land and the sustenance. I've always been bothered by this. I still don't have a good answer. The first blessing was for the food. The second blessing should be for the land. Why does it mention the food and the land? And I believe that the answer is a historical answer. That since today, 2020, you and I in Memphis are not partaking of food of Israel, we can't have a blessing thanking God for the land of Israel only because we're not in Israel. As a matter of fact, the original text, as I saw in the Cairo Geniza, could be that it used to say, we offer you thanks that for giving us and our ancestors a heritage. Today, it's hard to say that because I don't have land in Israel. I could be buried there, but I don't really have land in Israel. So therefore, I can't really say us. But maybe the original idea was to just thank God for the land, but it became morphed into land and food, land and sustenance. Anyway, that's a strange thing. Then the last blessing we showed you that it's not a thanksgiving. But have mercy on us, Lord, your people, Jerusalem, on Zion. It's having mercy. Our God, our Father, tend us, nourish us. You're asking for sustenance. It's a prayer for food. It's not a blessing for food. So in what sense is this a blessing? And we ask God to rebuild Jerusalem. So what's going on? So we'll get back to that. And what we mentioned before, right? Salvation said that we're thanking God even when things are broken, when there is no Jerusalem. Or in today, there's a Jerusalem, but it doesn't have the main thing, the main event, which is temple in Jerusalem. And then there's that other blessing, which rabbis say was instituted, strangely enough, because some of our brothers and sisters were buried. Oh, thank God they were buried, right? In the Holocaust, people were not buried. But in Beitar, when the Romans destroyed these tremendous cities, tremendous amount of Jews, everyone was strewn on the mountains for days, maybe years. The bodies didn't putrefy. They were able to bury them. A great thanksgiving for that. So what could exemplify in any greater way the idea that we thank God no matter what? As a matter of fact, at a funeral, what do the mourners say? Blessed is God, King of the universe, who is a true judge. Even at a funeral, people thank God. So every day when we eat the meal, even though we say, well, it's a nice meal, but you know, I've got problems. I've got financial problems. I've got family problems. I'm thanking God for the bread, but what about my other problems? So we say, yeah. They had a lot of problems in the time of Beitar. They all died, but we were able to bury them, and that's not bad. It's better than the Holocaust. Let's thank God for that. So it teaches you to be thankful even in the worst condition. Now, in order to appreciate the benching, it's good to look at the abridged version of benching. Because when you look at an abridged version, you have to get to the point. You know, when I give my 10 minutes for Torah, I have to get to the point. You can watch last week's 10 minutes for Torah. We talked a little bit about some of these themes. When you have an hour class, a 45-minute class, and a half-hour class, you know, you can go on and on. So what about the abridged benching? What does it tell us? So here's the Hebrew version. And you can see a few words emphasized. In the second line, michya, is like the word chai, that which provides sustenance and life. On about the sixth line there, you can see eretz chandat torah chava, the coveted, desired, good, and expansive land. You can see Jerusalem there. So I'll point to it, Yerushalayim. And so you see these different things. Now, what is this expression? The good land, eretz chemda, it's desired, tova. So the rabbis say, tov is Jerusalem. It's so good that it has Jerusalem in it. Like before 67, people liked Israel. That was exciting. It was a new country, but they weren't that excited because without Jerusalem, it's not that exciting. When you take a tourist group and you stay in Tel Aviv the whole time, it's not that exciting. You might as well go to Italy. But when you go to Jerusalem, it kind of solidifies Israel. And Rechava, what does it mean that God is, it's an expansive land? I never understood, what does that mean? A lot of people complain, they say, oh, we have such a small country. No, we have to believe that all the Jews could fit in Israel. Now you'll say, oh, it'll be overpopulation, if you drive through not only the West Bank, but even places not too far from Tel Aviv, you will find land that just goes on and on. There is plenty of land, right? New York City has 8 million people, something like that. And it is a little tiny island. Israel can certainly sustain as many Jews as you want to have. And of course, it can expand into other directions, up into Lebanon, into Jordan. It's not a problem. But even in Israel itself, there's room for everybody. The rabbis say it's like a deer skin. It stretches. The problem with the bridge version is that it says that God bring us to Jerusalem and we will go there and we'll eat the fruits and we'll be satiated from your goodness and we'll bless you there with holiness. So this abridged version tries to connect the idea of Jerusalem with the idea of blessing for food. That I want to go to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem not to bring sacrifices or to pray. I want to go to Jerusalem so I can eat your food. And when I go to Jerusalem, I'll eat the food in holiness. And when I thank you, like I'm doing now, I will be in a state of holiness and purity. So we talked about that the other week, that Rabbi Natan Greenblatt said, it means there are certain foods that you can only eat in Jerusalem. You know, there's the Meister Sheni, the second tithing. You take one tithe, you give it to a Levite. You take a second tithe, you bring it to Jerusalem, and you eat the food in Jerusalem. How can you eat 1/10 of your produce in Jerusalem? So the answer, 9%. You know how? If you share it with the poor people, the widow and the orphan. So you're eating in holiness. They go to the mikvah. You eat it in Jerusalem. It's very inspiring. That's how we want to eat fruit. We don't want to eat here in Memphis. We don't want to eat on the run or catching our next meeting. We want to eat in Jerusalem where we can enjoy the holiness of the temple and go to the mikvah and share with other people and have that sense of generosity and holiness that we talked about. The problem is that we say that we want to go to Israel to eat its fruit and be satiated from it. But the problem is that the Gemara says that why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go to Israel? You think he wanted to eat the fruits or enjoy its goodness? Of course not, assumes the Gemara. The Gemara answers, no. Moshe wanted to keep the mitzvos that are in Israel. But how come in our prayer we say we want to go to Israel to eat the fruits and to be satiated from the goodness? The Gemara assumes that that's not a good reason to go to Israel. It's not a tourist attraction to eat good mangoes. I enjoy going to Israel to have pomegranate juice. They have mounds of pomegranates on every corner, and some guy's standing there squeezing it, and for a 6 shekel, you can get a cup of pomegranate juice. It's delicious. But that's not a good reason to go to Jerusalem, to go to Israel. So why are we saying, God, bring me to Jerusalem, I'll enjoy your pomegranate juice? What are we talking about? What kind of religious aspiration is that? The answer is as follows. I'm gonna eat those fruits, and I'm going to thank you with kedusha, with restraint. I'm not going to eat it if it's not kosher. I'm not going to eat it until I give some of it to the Levite and some to the Kohen, and betara, in holiness, and purity. I'll eat it with charity, because I'll be sharing it with the poor and the Levites and the widow and the orphan. So that's how I want to eat. So the Gemara says that Moshe wanted to go to Israel to fulfill the mitzvot there, but we're really saying the same thing. I want to go to Israel and enjoy the fruits, and some of those eating of fruits are a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to take fruit to Jerusalem and to have so much that you have to share it with the Levites and to eat it in holiness in Jerusalem. So it's really the same thing. It's not that there's a contradiction between the blessing, which aspires to eat fruit in Israel, and Moshe and the Gemara that says that aspiring to eat fruit is a frivolous thing. No. Aspiring to eat fruit in the context of a mitzvah, in the context of Jerusalem, is a holy mitzvah. To eat in covenant and holiness would be a new thing, even for Moses. Something Moses was not able to do in the desert in the same kind of way. Now, the strategic points of this Gemara here, where Rav Asi says, maybe it was Rav Ami, one of the rabbis of Israel said, Amu Malach Hashem Sefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. The ministering angels said to God, they said, look, Ribon Shel Olam, master of the universe, it says in your Torah that you can't lift up your face to anyone. You can't treat anyone differently. You can't take bribery. God is a God who doesn't take bribery, right? You can't bring him a sacrifice and he'll forgive you for your sins. It doesn't work that way. You have to confess. You have to do tshuva. Then you can bring a sacrifice. But you, God, contradict yourself, because you do favor Israel, because it says on the priestly blessings that God should lift his face to you. That means God should give you special favor. God should give you special favor. God's not allowed to give special favor. God has to be a true judge. So God says to the angels, be quiet. Look, let me tell you something. How can I not give special favor to the Jews? I wrote in the Torah, you should bless God when you're satiated. But when they have like an egg or an olive, they thank me for the egg or the olive, or an egg worth of bread, or an olive worth of bread, they thank me for that. I'm sure there were some people in the Holocaust, they had a little piece of bread, and they said to Benji, I don't doubt that there were people like that in the concentration camps. So he says, if they can thank me when they are not full, but when they're really hungry, then I've got to do something for them. So the greatness of the Jew is that he thanks God even when he's hungry. That's our salvific derivation from this passage. So that's what the blessing of Jerusalem is. We say, and well, thank you for Jerusalem, but we really don't have Jerusalem. But, you know, thanks for at least that there is a Jerusalem, and one day I'll be rebuilt. And I don't really have enough food and money right now. I'm a little insecure, but, you know, I pray that it be better. And I thank you for all that, whatever it is, whatever you gave me, I thank you for that. So that's what benching is all about. Now, I also want to expound on something that I mentioned the other day in the video and last week, eating redeemed. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a book called Family Redeemed, where he talks about the idea of sexuality and family being redeemed and brought to a higher level where Jewish family is on one of the highest levels. It's a beautiful part of Jewish life. Same thing with food. Food could be a very gross and disgusting kind of a thing. You eat and then you can vomit and eat more and you could just gorge yourself and it could be very, really disgusting. However, eating can also be redeemed. It can be elevated. So I want to end on the levels of living that we could live on. The first blessing speaks of the first level, which is sort of an animalistic level. We could just have food. The human being could be provided with food, just like every creature. We have a scientist with us. Sure, every creature has to eat something or other, live off something. So that's the first level. We thank God that as biological beings, God provides us something to eat. It could have been a piece of bread and some water. That would be good enough. But whatever it is, it's food. Then we say, well, God, we thank you that you gave us a particular land. It's like you helped us, directed us. You gave us a job. You know, you gave us a place to be. And you gave us a land. It's a beautiful land. And it can produce a lot of fruit. We thank you for that. And if I lived in Israel, I could thank him for the pomegranate that grew in this land that he gave me. This is a very special kind of a very particular kind of a blessing. And then we have to talk about how I would eat the fruit in that land. And then then you could live on a level where at that meal, you could talk words of Torah, that you could elevate the meal from a meal to a symposium, to a conference, to a discussion. You eat the meal, there is an idea of eating a meal as a covenantal meal. Covenantal meal, like the Seder is a covenantal meal. A covenantal meal is what you're at this meal, and with that eating, it seals the covenant between you and God. I don't know, it could be that that's what we're talking about. Or just the idea that I live in covenant with God. I live with the idea that I am in a unique covenant with God. I'm not just thanking you at the level of being a human being, which is good enough to say, I'm a llama, I'm a orangutan, and God created me. It should be, if they could appreciate God, they should. But I'm also in a particular relationship with God, which is expressed by the Brit. Men have it in the flesh. Women, the Gemara says, as if they have it, they're part of the Jewish people, which has a covenant. Jerusalem is a place where you can eat at a different level. Being in Jerusalem is inspiring. We'll have it next week's parsha that when you go there, you see the Kohanim and the Levium and the sacrifice, you get very inspired. So it's inspirational. It's also chesed oriented. It has that value of kindness because when you get to Jerusalem, you have so much food. You brought it from far away or you turned it into money and then you came to Israel, to Jerusalem with a sack full of gold coins, silver coins, and you bought tons of food there, meat and all kinds of things. You shared it with all these poor people. It's a living in kindness and in holiness because you have to go to the mikvah. You have to purify yourself. You have to, you're in Jerusalem. You're so inspired. You can eat with holiness and restraint, right? We don't eat certain things, certain foods, certain non-kosher things, and with gedula, with kindness. So I believe that the benching sort of builds up. It builds up. It goes, starts from the animalistic sense of thanking God for just our living, that we breathe, that we are organic beings. We move up in the chain toward, we thank God that we have some sort of relationship with him, that he gave us a particular land, we have a covenant, we can go to Jerusalem, we can go to a holy place, we can be inspired, that we live with restraint, and we can have kindness, we can transform a meal from a meal into a place, an opportunity for kindness and holiness. And that's what we say in that abridged version of the benching. What do we say in the abridged version? We're going to go there and we're going to eat. V'kdusha v'tahara. We aspire to live on the highest plane, that the food should be redeemed to the extent that it is on the highest plane, that eating will be redeemed to go from a purely animalistic level, which is fine. You eat, you satiate, you thank God, it's good. But with a higher level to go on, where I could eat v'kdusha v'tahara, where I could elevate the human characteristic of eating, I could take it, human function of eating, I could take it to a new level where it's completely on a new plane. So I thank you all for joining us today for a discussion of benching and its meaning, various blessings in the meaning, and join us each week for our discussion of the Parsha, usually 1 o'clock on Thursday, usually 11:30 on Monday. It's great to have each one of you with us. At this time, if you have questions or comments, I will take them. Thank you.
Are you going to send a link to this recorded lecture?
Sure. Yeah. God willing. Yeah, we always do. I also share the PowerPoint as well, so you can get that. If you can go to the YU Torah, you can get the PowerPoint as well. Or if you just watch it, you can see it.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.